Australia Overnight with Pat Panetta. It's been a bit of a tough couple of years on the health front, COVID and everything associated with that, and many of us have got over it and feeling fatigue, and we don't want to hear too much more about it. But the answer is not sticking our head into the sand. As we begin 2023, there's a new COVID-19 variant emerging. The federal government has developed a national health management plan. Can we respond to these new waves? How long will all this last? Will our healthcare workers be able to cope over the next few years? And what about long COVID and the associated mental health issues? Lots of questions there. Joining us in Australia Overnight, the CEO of Day Hospitals Australia, Jane Griffiths, is on the line. Hi there, Jane.
Hi, Pat.
Where do we start? There's lots of questions there.
Yes.
Well, at the beginning, do you agree that there's a bit of fatigue, but we can't stick our head in the sand, can we, Jane?
There absolutely is. And as you correctly said, there's a new variant now, XBB 1.5, nicknamed Kraken. And I understand there have been a couple of cases already picked up in New South Wales. Unfortunately, we're going to see subvariants and new variants of this virus probably for at least the next 2 years. So this is why the federal government has set up the COVID management plan, which basically will manage these illnesses, these variants, in similar way to other respiratory viruses. However, they may need to introduce additional health measures such as mask wearing, etc. But our main defence still is vaccines and antivirals, but certainly for this variant, it's very important that people have had their booster. In the United States recently, at the beginning of this December, there was 1% of this variant around, and now 3 weeks later, there was 41%. So it's highly contagious.
And Jane, did you say it has? Oh, that's right. It is. You've spotted it in New South Wales, so it has entered the community. Right, I'm with you.
It has, yes. And of course, with international borders now open, it's likely that we'll see more cases. Regarding the health system's capacity to cope, this is going to be critical because there will be, as I said, many waves predicted over the next couple of years at least. The federal government has a national stockpile of pharmaceuticals and surgical consumables, and this is going to be extremely important in light of the current world situation, particularly the slowdown in China of their economic growth, as lots of our surgical supplies in particular come from China. So we're likely to see price increases and shortages. You probably heard on the news recently that there's also a pharmaceutical shortage at the moment, particularly for antibiotics, and particularly those liquid antibiotics that are used for children. And this has been a result of an increased global demand for these drugs. So that's also going to have a significant impact. You mentioned healthcare workforce. This is a critical issue for the healthcare system at the moment, both public and private. Long COVID and mental health issues are not only impacting the community, but certainly health workers. A lot of health workers are burnt out, and particularly in the nursing profession, many are leaving the profession earlier than they'd planned to. I guess the other area is the new nurses, new healthcare workers coming into the system. Because of restrictions on university intakes at the beginning of COVID, we're going to see a real shortage of new nurses in 2025. So one of the actions that we've taken as an organisation is to encourage all the day hospital members to offer opportunities for clinical placements for student nurses and for graduate nurses. Because what happened during the last couple of years was, of course, the large public hospitals and private hospitals tended to be full of COVID, so they couldn't take students. So we're very keen to encourage any of our members that are not already doing so, and many are, to offer these opportunities to the universities. And we've been in contact with all 37 nursing schools across Australia.
Wonderful, wonderful. Australia Overnight, we're chatting about the healthcare services and how they'll be impacted in 2023 with Jane Griffiths, the CEO of Day Hospitals Australia. Lots of great information there, Jane, so thank you for that. And when you mentioned long COVID, I'm curious, what do we know about that? Is it still the early stages? There's so many people suffering from long COVID and they just can't shake it off. Whether it be, you know, just the fatigue or the mental fogginess or, you know, the sense of smell and taste sometimes doesn't come back. Do we know anything about the long COVID?
No, there's not a lot of research available at this stage. But what we do know in relation to surgery is if somebody has a general anaesthetic and they don't know that they've got COVID, which is often the case, unfortunately, there can be serious complications post-anaesthesia.
Right.
So there is a bit of research being done, particularly in the UK, in that area.
Mm.
I guess the other important impact, and we've seen this around Australia, is the ambulance ramping in most parts of Australia. And we're likely to see this continue until more care is provided in the community. We will have an increased capacity of aged Australians, and at the moment residential care facilities are suffering, I guess you could say, after the reform process, with 7 out of 10 facilities operating at a loss.
Yes.
So I think we're going to need to see more aged care Australians cared or in their home, but also quality safe treatment provided in the appropriate setting. And I guess a good example of that is that most same day procedures should be performed in day hospitals rather than having a day procedure in a large overnight hospital, which is actually at a much higher cost. So not only will it free up the overnight hospital staff to treat the patients that really need their care, but it'll also reduce the cost in the overall health system.
Right. So looking after people in their homes, Yadley, your suggestion there, and also using the day hospitals. So is the government listening to that? They're all great suggestions, and you know, you're projecting forward and can see what's coming. So what are you doing with your organisation to sort of give them a bit of a nudge to you know, tap into what you're thinking?
We're certainly in discussions with both federal and jurisdictional governments and health departments. And I'm pleased to say that in most states, health departments are already using a lot of our members to assist with the backlog of public elective surgery. In some states, they're doing an outstanding job. Tasmania is probably a very good example, where all public cataracts are actually being done in the private system and mainly in day hospitals, which is much more cost effective for the public sector and much more efficient. But certainly we're also trying to encourage specialists to think about using day hospitals for their day procedures rather than adding them onto their lists in the overnight hospital sector, which is much more expensive.
Yes, Jane Griffith, CEO of Day Hospitals Australia on Australia Overnight. Now, you mentioned the National COVID-19 Health Management Plan, which the federal government is enacting or has that plan. Are the state governments going to cooperate? Jane, I remember the, you know, the tussle between state and federal and who does what during the you know, the height of the pandemic. You know, is that all going to come into line and everyone's going to sort of sing from the same hymn book, as we say?
Well, one would hope so, because this plan was brought together with all the health ministers around the country. So one would hope that there's more cohesion. As I agree, we saw a terrible situation in Victoria for a long time.
Yes.
Western Australia was closed off to the rest of the country for nearly 2 years, which had a significant impact on the health sector, because they couldn't hire any staff from anywhere but within the state, which caused all sorts of problems.
Yep, yep.
So one would hope, yes, that they've learnt their lessons from that experience.
Did that playing politics frustrate you and your organisation, Jane?
Very much so. Very much so. I think our sector has a huge amount to offer, and it's really not being utilised to its full potential at this stage. And really, Australia is falling behind most of the Western countries where same-day surgery in specialised day hospitals is the norm, particularly in the UK, the US, parts of Europe. And certainly more advanced procedures are being done in the sector, which is certainly very possible, such as joint replacements, laparoscopic surgery, etc.
How did we get this far behind? Why are we sort of playing catch up now?
I think part of the reason is that the medical and nursing profession have not been exposed to the sector as part of their training, and that's an issue in itself. And also, I think because there's not a good understanding of health economics by people providing the healthcare. And certainly, as far as the private sector is concerned, the day hospital sector is the most cost-effective and efficient. We have very good outcomes for our patients, for suitable patients and procedures. But some of our members really battle with the private health insurers to get an appropriate contract. So that is frustrating. But it's slowly changing, and we are working with some of the major health funds. And certainly that's been recognised by some of them who've collaborated with some of our members and with specialist doctors and anaesthetists. And there's a couple of orthopaedic programs set up for joint replacements, one in Melbourne and one in Sydney, where there's no gap for the patients. So they're covered totally by their health insurance.
Just back to COVID, you mentioned that we need to sort of accept the fact there'll be waves continuing on for the next couple of years, and you spoke about the best ways to protect ourselves against that. But is it right to say we've moved through the first phase of lockdowns? We didn't know what was going on. It was all brand new. Now there's high vaccination rates. We're moving into another type of mindset and way of dealing with it?
Yes, I think so. I think as the National Management Plan's outlaid, it will be really looking at how we manage other respiratory diseases, and obviously taking precautions where indicated. I mean, at the moment, I wouldn't go into a crowded area without a mask on. Mm-hmm. It's not mandatory, but I think, you know, those sensible types of things really need to be at front of mind of the population.
Right. So the onus is on the individual to be sensible and take the right sort of precautions.
Yes, absolutely.
Does it, I guess some people just won't listen to the message, Jane, but I mean, it's all of us need to do the right thing. I think that it's
absolutely
good that you're here.
Yes, it is frustrating when people don't adhere that message. And I think situations like aeroplanes and airports, and having travelled recently, most people are not wearing masks, but to me, they're taking a risk.
And thanks for your time. Jane Griffith, CEO, Day Hospitals Australia, talking about the healthcare sector in 2023. Testing people who come into Australia, Jane, is it necessary? Should we ensuring those entering as the borders open up around the world, as they jump in a plane and come to Australia, should we make sure they're free of COVID?
I think that's a difficult one. You've probably heard that the RAT tests aren't all that reliable, and that's what most of the testing is these days, because the PCRs are so expensive. Mm. So I think if people don't have symptoms, there's probably not a lot you can do about it. I know we're testing people from China at the moment, and they've now decided to test any Australians that go to China. But I don't know how accurate it'll be. That's the problem.
I see. At least it's a measure, though. I mean, if it's a problem, that's right. I mean, we want to make sure it's accurate. But you've mentioned that national plan, so it looks like there is things in place. You've got some great suggestions, and your organisation are projecting forward. So will it all be okay, Jane?
One would hope so, that we get back to some sort of normality. But I think We probably do need to appreciate that we are going to live with these viruses emerging around the world in the future.
Right.
There just as we had SARS and at previous
yes.
viruses that weren't quite as severe as the COVID.
Can I use one of those phrases that's driving everybody mad? There were so many phrases that popped up, but it's the new normal. As yes. they say, there you are. Yes. Get used to the yes. new normal. Thank you for your time in Australia overnight. As I say, lots of great information there. So we appreciate you being on the program. Jane Griffiths, CEO of Day Hospitals Australia. Thanks for being here on the radio program, Australia Overnight.
Thank you very much for having me.